And Shane Bieber is not related to Justin Bieber, but he does embrace the last name as a joke.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Well, congratulations to not Justin Bieber for winning All-Star Game MVP last night.
It would suck to have that as your last name.
I don't think so.
You could never be the most famous person.
I think you lean into it when you go to the bar. You tell people you're related to him.
But you could never be the most famous Bieber. It's like if your last name is Trump or Winfrey. You can never be the most famous person with that name.
Great benefits from it, though. Just tell people you're related to Justin. Because they'll be like, you. Oh, well, maybe he is. I've never heard of anybody else named Bieber. Checks out to me.
Yeah, Justin's actually my uncle.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
It could be one of those weird deals where you've got, you know, there's like a sister and she's not that much older. She marries a guy that's way younger than her.
On 1340 WKGN.
You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like if my sister were to marry a 20-year-old guy. He would be my uncle. It would be weird to call him uncle, but he would be.
Your sister's husband is your brother-in-law.
That's a very good point by you.
Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Brett Bielema is set to become the next head coach at Colorado if his interview goes well and the two parties agree to terms and Colorado decides that they want to hire him.
So Brett Bielema is set to become the Colorado coach if he gets hired, basically.
If all those things go well. But
yeah, so it's not like he's even interviewed yet.
Yeah, but that was a better headline. You got it. You
did spice up the headline.
So Bielema.
You made the headline way cooler, I got to admit.
The report is that Bielema is interviewing for the Colorado head coaching job.
Okay.
It'd probably be a cool place to be a head coach.
Colorado?
Yeah. I mean, not a great, like, chances of winning, but in terms of living.
Seems cooler than Arkansas.
Which
he's already done, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I bet Brett Bielema wishes he could do that whole thing over again and not leave Wisconsin.
Think he'd still be there?
I mean, don't you think he would rather have done that?
Probably, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. He wanted to try his hand at the SEC. So.
Yeah, but he failed.
Yeah, but at least now he knows.
Yeah. But now he is maybe getting the Colorado job.
Well, I mean, who knows what would have happened at Wisconsin. They probably would have just stayed successful.
They probably would have kept winning 9, 10, 11 games a year.
Hey, he'd probably still be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what would have happened.
Right.
Well, you know, he wanted to try his hand at the SEC. Now he knows that he's a failure when it comes to big boy football.
Sure.
Despite being a big boy himself. He had a little success at Arkansas that first couple years when he had those big old lines. But
did he?
I mean, what can you expect?
Did he have success? I thought he maxed out like 8-4.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty good success for a place like Arkansas.
Okay.
They beat Butch Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Because that's what Brett Bielema was trying to do when he left Wisconsin for Arkansas. If I could beat Butch Jones, this will all have been a success.
What should he expect? You think you're going to go into Fayetteville and you're going to beat Alabama on a consistent basis?
That's what I'm asking. Like, what was he thinking?
What was
he thinking leaving Wisconsin for Arkansas? Like, that doesn't seem like it was a move that had a lot of favorable outcomes.
Well, and it's a lateral move at best.
Sure.
Wisconsin probably regarded a little higher than Arkansas. So it's, I don't know. I think he was unhappy maybe with Barry Alvarez.
That was probably what it was. And I'm sure Arkansas gave him more money, but I'm just saying. Seemed like a poor decision to make.
I mean, Barry Alvarez seems like he would be in your business quite a bit.
Sure.
If you're a coach.
Sure.
You know, but I don't know. I mean, it's worked okay for Paul Christ. He's doing fine. And who the hell would even know that Paul Christ? I guarantee you most people don't even know the Wisconsin coach's name.
I would say, yeah, that's
probably
pretty accurate.
Take college football fans, maybe half of them know Paul Christ.
I'd say 65% know who Paul Christ is. college football fans.
I think the average college football fan, half.
Okay.
That's just my guess. That's okay. If you take the average one. Not the average audience member of Talk Sports, because they're very smart.
That's true. I always make that. Always make that mistake.
You got to realize a lot of these people exist on Facebook too.
That's
you know,
true.
Like these are people that are not, you know, they're very low IQs.
Yeah.
Double digit, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking 11, 12. Some of them below 10.
Sure.
They wouldn't know Paul Christ. So anyway, Brett Bielema interviewing for the head coaching job at the University of Colorado, a vacancy which was created last week when Mel Tucker resigned to go to Michigan State. So we'll see how that plays out. Got a headline on coming out from Pete Thamel. Have you seen this over at Yahoo?
I did see it.
The way Pete
Thamel. It's a far cry from what they were all saying before the year. This is one of those situations. However, I will say that go ahead and give the headline. Go ahead and give the headline.
Where it's all gone wrong for Memphis. Attrition, injury, and youth lead to Memphis spiraling to college basketball's biggest disappointment.
Yeah.
And the article takes a look at Memphis and Penny's biggest mistakes in a season that began with Penny talking openly about a national title.
Well, that's what I was going to say is this is another one of those situations that I talk about from time to time where the media builds up a certain narrative and they end up being dead wrong and now they're going to criticize the coach and be extra hard on him. However, in this situation, Penny was out there saying they wanted all the smoke and saying they're going to win a national championship. But, like, the basketball writers, the media, the college basketball media, all had Memphis as a top 10, top 5 team, right? They're all acting like they were going to be so great. The analytical people, the analytics people like Bart Torvik and KenPom, those guys who look at things without the narrative surrounding the team and just look at the players, they had Memphis as, like, a 50th-ranked team, ranked, like, 40th. 45th, 50th. They were like, hey, this Memphis team is going to be a tournament team, but this team isn't going to be great. And that was with James Wiseman. They're like, this team is going to be a low-tier team. Yet the writers and the you know the people voting were all like, no, top 10, top 10, top 10. So now when Memphis is not very good, now's the time for these scathing articles that they're going to write. And they're going to tear down Penny Hardaway. And like I said, he deserves it because he said he wanted the smoke. And when you say you want the smoke and you lose, that ass is going to get fired up.
Well, there's also no accountability for these media types, so they can just say whatever they want without any repercussions.
It's pretty easy.
A lot of them just go on the air, and they'll spew nonsense, or they'll go on the, you know, their columns and just write ridiculous things.
Yep.
Just so people will pay attention to them.
Sure. Sure.
You hear these guys on the radio all the time.
Yeah.
They give you some crazy prediction and it's not accurate. No repercussions.
Yep.
You can just say whatever you want.
Yep. Just keep kicking the can down the road.
Yeah. Nothing ever happens.
Mm-hmm. Then you just flip it and become a Chiefs supporter and act like you never criticized Patrick Mahomes and said that he was a choker and never going to win and that style of football wasn't going to win and that really he was just lucky.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm getting at.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you're just like, no, I'm rooting for the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is my favorite quarterback, stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think it was that explicit, but that is the kind of thing I'm talking about, yeah. Mm-hmm. In case you missed it in the first hour, The Bachelor will be featuring Knoxville tonight. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain Time, 5 Pacific on ABC. Why is it that you never hear the other two time zones? It's always 8, 7 Central. You know, it should be 8, 7, 6, 5 Pacific.
I think people have to do the math themselves.
Well, why do you mention the second one then?
No, because I think the actual key is that it re-airs. It doesn't come on at 5 o'clock Pacific time. It comes on at 8 o'clock Pacific time. They go on 3-hour delays over there. I think that's the answer. For shows like this?
Yeah, but you see it with live programming too. Like in sports, you'll see the Pac-12, or that's a bad example, Clemson versus Virginia, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central.
Yeah.
What? Why don't you get 6 o'clock Mountain, 5?
On what channels are we talking about? Like ESPN and stuff, I guess? Yeah. Or what?
Why is it always... Why not just say 8 Eastern, and then we can figure the rest out? Or just tell us the game will kick off at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Even it up a little bit, and then we have to figure it out.
Mountain would be a bad idea.
Like Clemson, Virginia, 6 o'clock in Colorado. Then I know it's 8 o'clock here.
There's just not enough people to live in the mountain. There's not enough people that live in the mountain time that we should be catering to them.
Tell people in Denver that.
I think they would probably agree. They've made that decision.
It's probably the only city in mountain time that we could name.
Yeah.
That matters.
Salt Lake City, probably. I don't even know if it matters.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean that really is.
Like, isn't like 65% of America in Eastern time zone? Or did I make that up?
Okay. Population-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe more than
that. I would say
that. Probably not more than that.
I would say that's the answer.
That seems about right.
Or 65% maybe in Eastern and Central time. Maybe that's the stat or something like that.
Oh, I bet it's higher than that.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's probably the reason why.
Well, out west, there's, I've told you this,
just driving. California, yeah.
There's periods of driving where you don't even have exits.
That's probably why we're not placating to them. Also, like I said, other shows come on West Coast times out there. Like, just take, for example, Monday Night Raw. I know wrestling fans, they have to wait 3 hours, so... They're always complaining about how the shows get spoiled for them. Because,
well, of course.
Yeah.
You got to stay off the internet.
Yeah.
If you're, I mean, you know, if the show starts at 8 o'clock, that is so, what's the word? Backwards. Yeah. That's so behind the times.
Sure.
Like with Twitter now, you're going to know everything that happens.
Yeah. I know.
And they're just, the TV networks are just going to be like, no, we'll show it to you 3 hours later. Just pretend it's live. Yeah.
Okay, good talk.
Okay. Well, anyway, Knoxville will be on The Bachelor tonight. It'll be featured at 6 o'clock Mountain Time.
All right.
John Beilein.
Is he going to make you watch? Are you going to watch?
Depends on what I'm doing.
Cam?
If I'm home, I'll watch.
Knoxville getting some shine on The Bachelor. Is that going to make you watch?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
We mentioned the Beilein thing earlier.
I got
another old guy for you.
Okay.
This time in baseball, Angels manager Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon with a quote that says, "I think somebody's got to stand up for our game and the way it is and it should be played." You know what? That's from several days ago. I don't know. Are you interested?
We'll talk some Rob Manfred baseball later.
Joe
Maddon's
saying analytics don't matter.
Oh, that's what he's talking about?
He said analytics and technology are slightly responsible for putting the game in a position where it's not as attractive to fans. Talking about what's wrong with baseball, I think somebody's got to stand up for our game the way it is and the way it should be played. He says analytics and technology are responsible for putting the game in a position where it's not as attractive to fans today.
Okay, Joe Maddon. I always thought he was kind of more of the analytical type. Maybe it's just the glasses and the hair that threw me off.
I mean, there is something to be said for the old days when nobody knew the tendencies of, you know, you just got what you could see on film. You know, you didn't have all these guys. I mean, I it's a different time, I know, but...
We now know the answer to why the Cubs only won the one World Series.
There's something to be said for just lining up and hitting the ball, you know.
Phoenix, Arizona, is apparently also in Mountain Time.
Oh,
so
my apologies.
El Paso, Texas.
Do we care about El Paso?
No, but it's like one of the few Texas cities in it.
Yeah,
what's so weird?
That is a little surprising that there is a Texas city in Mountain Time zones, but I don't feel like we care about El Paso, really. Although there was that one, wasn't there? There's, you know, some songs about El Paso.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
I can't think of it either.
It was the one that was like the...
Is it Marty Robbins?
Yeah, Marty Robbins. Is it Felina? Like, it's the... It was like, what, the finale of Breaking Bad.
They play El Paso.
Yeah, like, it was the end of Breaking Bad. That's what... It'll be synonymous with that, because that was the name of the finale. It's about a man coming back in to shoot a drug dealer down, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's wild? El Paso is one of the safest cities... Juarez, which is literally right across the river, one of the most dangerous cities in the world.
Whenever somebody gets in a fight, they're like, take that nonsense over to Juarez. You're
just go
to Juarez if you're going to do all
it's
that.
It's so crazy. It's one river separate. The Rio Grande on one side,
out
great safety.
West Texas,
and on the other side, pure
El
chaos.
Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
You don't want to go into Juarez. That's a place you'll get killed. You roll up into Juarez and you're not protected, they'll shoot you down. They don't give a damn. People talk about the south side of Chicago. You roll into Juarez.
I feel like Chicago's probably got a – I feel like they've earned their reputation as well.
I wouldn't go to Juarez if you paid me.
Okay. I guess that solves it.
You really
hammered that point home.
I wouldn't do – it's not something that would happen. It's a scary place. I've seen it in the movies. But apologies to Phoenix. Phoenix does seem like a city that matters. But Phoenix, Denver, I mean, those are the only two, really, you know, Mountain Time.
So, Cam, you're not in on the Bachelor night? No Bruce Pearl, no Knoxville Sunspear for you?
No, I despise that kind of television.
Okay. It's weird because I like it, but I don't really like the Bachelor either. I don't dislike it. I just don't watch it. It's always boring to me.
Too good for the Bachelor, huh?
Yeah.
I love bad reality TV as much as anybody. This one doesn't do it for me.
I just think it'll be cool seeing our city on national TV.
Yeah, that probably will be cool. They're going axe throwing, I think, too, which I went and did Saturday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw your sponsored ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it a lot.
You didn't?
We lost. We took a lot of L's. We got beat like a drum. There were three lanes of our party, and we frequently finished in last. We did kind of – we threw for an hour and a half.
Seems like a workout.
Yeah, you know, the first 10, 15 minutes are going over the rules and stuff, but, like, really at the hour mark maybe, hour and 10-minute mark, we really found our stride and got good. But it was a little too late, I guess.
Yeah, you'll have to regroup and take that into the second session.
Yeah, we had, like, 10 games maybe, and we were last in most of them, and we won one of them, so.
Yeah. Well, you didn't take a chunk out of anyone, did you?
No.
That's good.
No, very safe. I was surprised at how safe it was. It'd have to be like a really freak accident, or you'd have to be messed up to get hurt doing that.
Yeah.
So they'll be doing that on tonight's Bachelor episode, too, I think. So.
Yeah. At the same place you were at?
No. Or
they're going to
Gatlinburg in Sevierville, I'm pretty sure, yeah. Jesse writes in saying that they will be having a watch party tonight at Tommy Trent's sports bar in Market Square. So Jesse listens to the show, so there's some free pub for Jesse and the watch party. If you guys are wanting to get together and watch. The idea of TV watch parties is kind of fun to me. I wanted to do that for TV shows, but then never did. I thought it'd be cool to have like a Game of Thrones watch party or something.
Thought a lot of things
about the last season of Game of Thrones, and I'm glad we didn't get together to have watch parties for that. But
I do miss it.
I don't.
You know, this time last year, though, that's all we were talking about.
Yeah.
There were days where our shows consisted of nothing but Game of Thrones, pretty much.
And now it's dead forever.
I do miss those days.
So a good, you know, a good watch party for The Bachelor tonight, if you're wanting to get together over at Tommy Trent's. All right, stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, week two of the XFL. Cody, how much time did you spend consuming the XFL this weekend? Because I'm curious to see if, you know, what the TV numbers are going to be like between the week two to week one drop-off. How much did you watch in week two?
How long was it on the TV, or how long did I watch?
Both, I guess. I mean, if it was on your TV, then I guess it counts for ratings-wise.
Right, that's what I'm wondering. As far as the time that my eyeballs were actually pointed toward the screen, I'd say 17 minutes.
So okay.
Maybe 17 minutes.
And that's
minutes.
Compared to how long in week one?
About 17 minutes.
Okay, so you stood pretty steady. What about you, Cameron?
I didn't really watch anything Saturday.
I didn't watch anything Saturday either. I didn't watch anything Saturday. I saw 0 seconds of it Saturday. Didn't bother to stream it at all on my phone. Sunday, though, I watched both games on Sunday,
yeah,
pretty much
I did too.
In full.
I did watch both games Sunday, especially because, like, Daytona was taking forever. It was well, nothing else is on until the All-Star game, so.
I went to the Home and Garden show over in the Civic, the Expo Center or whatever the hell it is downtown, the Convention Center. I went by there for a little bit, got home basically right at 3, was getting set to watch the race. The race never came on, so I just watched both XFL games leading up to the All-Star game. So I spent, 6 hours, which I thought the game one on Sunday got off to a slow start. It was Dallas versus L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Johnson was finally playing for L.A., so at least there was two quarterbacks I knew, Landry Jones versus Josh Johnson, who has had some run in the NFL, and I thought it was a really good fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then that led into the game I was waiting for, the St. Louis-Houston game, and I thought that one was pretty good too, and that was, again, two quarterbacks that I at least either knew previously or have learned about since the XFL with P.J. Walker and Jordan Ta'amu. And, man, I don't want to sound like a dumb redneck, but I watch Houston play, and I'm like, man, this P.J. Walker guy looks like he's going to be in the NFL. Houston's quarterback, like, I don't know if that just makes like I'm a dumb football fan or like I'm overrating this, but I'm like, I see this guy getting a roster spot in maybe next year in the NFL, like a team looking at him and saying he can at least be our backup.
He was making some good throws. Like, he was making NFL throws. Like, that one he had
the sidearm down the middle of the field for a touchdown.
Yeah,
where he fit in between three people was an NFL throw.
He had one to Sammy Coates that got called back because Sammy Coates, like, stepped out of bounds.
Sure.
But, like, that throw was perfect throw. But, yeah, no, he's looked great so far.
I don't know if, like, you know, there's going to be many people get to the NFL, but I do think that Houston offense has a couple receivers and then him who looked the part. But – okay, so we both took in maybe 6 hours of it. I'm curious to see what their rankings or their ratings, excuse me, will look like when they come out.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything released yet.
I saw them tweet out that they were able to pay their players this week.
Throwing some shade at the AAF and at Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. I also saw where Tim Tebow said that he had been in contact with the XFL but decided to stick with baseball right now, but he said he was in communication with him about.
Well, it seems like he's got a pretty good setup with baseball. Like, he gets to live out some type of fantasy, get his competitive drive, but also get not hit, not beat up physically, and gets to have his full, you know, broadcasting schedule that he could do on the SEC Network and ESPN. So it seems like he kind of gets the best of both worlds there.
Yeah, I'd say he's doing all right.
But I thought the football was pretty good. You know, I didn't see Saturday. I know some people were really bored with the first game, the New York Guardians against the D.C. Defenders.
Well, that's the only one I saw a piece of. But
oh, really?
That okay. D.C. team does look pretty crisp.
Saw the stat on the bottom line of Cardale Jones is 13-0 as a starter since high school. So he continues his undefeated streak.
Yeah. D.C.'s probably the best team right now.
Them DC or Houston? Or Houston, yeah. Them or Houston and, you know. It didn't seem like it had as much buzz this weekend, but it did still stay on my radar. And like I said, I'm waiting to see what the TV numbers are this upcoming for this last weekend because there's going to be a decline. It just happens. People tune in the first day for curiosity, and then can the football keep you? And the football kept me on Sunday. The football kept me on Sunday as, you know, I'm still needing a sports fix.
Yeah. The LA team lost again. That's the team that I chose to give my fandom to.
And okay.
Apparently they're no good.
I picked New York and they let me down too. So I'm officially a free agent again.
Yeah.
Houston seems the funnest, but that's got the most people here at the station rooting for them. So
yeah, and we don't want to be like everybody else.
No. So I don't know where I'm at
They should have just let the Chargers be in the league.
It did seem crazy that L.A. had way more fan support than the Chargers did.
Yeah.
Like, that game got loud in L.A., like, when the Wildcats were scoring at the end of the game. It seemed like they had much more fan support than the Chargers do.
They should just move that team to the NFL and have the Chargers be in the XFL.
Just have a little relegation system. Yeah,
a little roster swapping, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try out the Houston Roughnecks against the Bengals at the end of the season, and it'd be a beatdown, but at least it would be something that we would line up to watch. I would watch it. There'd be so much money attached to it. But American sports will never do the relegation idea, which is why the MLS will never actually catch on with soccer fans.
You know what else would be really awesome is if, like, the top stat guy from the XFL every year got an NFL contract.
Just like, got to go. Which, you're going to see some of that. And, you know, you had Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. They're watching L.A., and they're giving a shout-out to that Spruce guy, the wide receiver, and he caught a couple of touchdowns. And then they are doing an awkward sideline interview with Todd Gurley, who looked like he'd been smoking a lot of weed and was just there trying to enjoy his Saturday. And then they're throwing him on national TV, and he calls his former teammate little brother, to which the guy says, "I'm older than you." And then it was kind of awkward, and then Todd's like, "Oh, okay, my bad."
It would be.
And then weird. The interview ended, and that was it.
It would be weird to just be really high at an XFL game and
just wanting to enjoy the time with your boys, and
they won't leave you alone.
I refrain from making the joke online that Todd Gurley is there and probably end up in the XFL in a couple of years if his knees keep trending the way they are. But he's got enough money. He'll probably just retire, so it probably won't happen. But we talked a little bit about the Chargers. Melvin Gordon gave an interview saying that he believes that Philip Rivers will be headed to the Colts. Said, you know, his former OC, is the Colts OC has ties with Philip Rivers, says he's familiar with some of the people there. They run the same offense, so he's calling a shot, Philip Rivers, to the Colts. We'll get into some NFL news and some NFL rumors coming up. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Saturdays are for seltzers. Gone are the...
Looks like the Detroit Lions, we've talked about them being linked to trade Matthew Stafford, but the latest report from Adam Schefter says they're also looking to try to move their Pro Bowl defensive back, Darius Slay. As we're getting set to that point where it's time to make some transactions in the NFL, the Lions have spoken with several teams about trading Darius Slay. Any team that trades for Slay would have to compensate Detroit and Slay with a new deal. Other teams believe Slay will be traded this offseason, but Lions remain adamant on value. I saw this stat today, Cody, that five teams have the most cap commitments for 2020. The Falcons are at $199, which is about just $3 million over the cap. Not crazy, but they're going to have to cut some salary. Your Bears are at $202.3 million, so they're going to have to cut almost $6 million. The Steelers are at $206.8, which means they're going to cut about $10 million. The Chiefs, the Super Bowl champs, are going to have to make some tough decisions. They're at $210 million, and the Jacksonville Jaguars have the most cap commitment at almost $217 million, which is really crazy because they stink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy that they have so much money committed. At least the Chiefs have a Super Bowl to think. Those other four teams missed the playoffs. So it stinks when your roster is expensive and you don't win very often. But, you know, we're getting ready to get set for rumor season in the NFL as some tough decisions are made. You said you saw another one. I guess this one was related around the draft, Cody?
Yeah, this is coming from Duck Territory, which we all know is a very reliable source. Justin Herbert could move past Tua on the Dolphins draft board, per a report.
Oh, man.
There's a new team in the conversation for Herbert.
Oh, no.
Apparently, it's the Miami Herald. It's the original source here. The Dolphins have started to shift their focus for the number five pick toward Justin Herbert after months of speculation that the team would prefer Alabama's Tua Tagovailoa as the projected number two quarterback.
Cam, your snap reaction to Justin Herbert, top five draft pick.
I honestly think Justin Herbert's getting some disrespect. I think he's better than people are giving him credit for.
Okay, so we have found one of the few Justin Herbert believers.
I would take Tua over him, absolutely, if Tua's healthy. But I also don't think Herbert's as bad as people are like, you know, those past reports where people are like, oh, you're going to lose your job if you take him.
Sure.
I don't think he's that level bad.
Some people are at the point now where they're like, hey, if you take him, you will be getting fired.
Yeah, I think he's better than that. I don't know. I would take Tua over him, though. So I do think that's a little high for sure.
Even Tua with the hip? Because I'd imagine
if he's healthy, I'm taking Tua, but...
Herbert is the most obvious alternative, and another source said that in meetings amongst Dolphins personnel people, he has advocates with Dolphins personnel people. So the report is they're going to shift their focus, or that they may be shifting their focus.
Okay.
I'd go get Burrow. That's what I'd do. I'd give Cincinnati those picks, and I'd say, give me Joe.
Man,
once in a lifetime quarterback.
I feel like you're overrating Joe Burrow, but...
When have I been known to do that?
I do think Joe Burrow is going to be better than Justin Herbert.
I mean, they're clearly saying that they want a quarterback.
Yeah, the Dolphins want a quarterback, and that was the point of doing all the losing this year, and it does seem like, you know, they were too good this year to even get the number one pick, right? And they started the season out horrendously tanking. They were just, you know, overtly like, hey, we are going to lose a bunch of games. And even then, they ended up with, what, five wins?
Yeah, they kind of screwed it up.
But they looked like they had some pieces. They were too good to lose that many games. So I don't think they could go all in next year and, you know, lose enough to get Trevor Lawrence. So they do have to come out with a quarterback. I just don't know if they're in position to get that quarterback without trading. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like at number five, like maybe you try Tua because Tua was thought to be the best quarterback before the year. Maybe you do take a flyer on Justin Herbert, who, you know, does have some athleticism. Justin Herbert does have some good qualities. I've just never watched him and came out thinking that guy's an NFL stud. Like, I'm not very good at that. I don't position myself as a draft expert, but I saw Herbert make too many bad plays for me to be excited if I was a Dolphins guy, especially at number five. But even at Tua, like, you know, like we talked about, that hip injury is going to make things confusing with him too.
Yeah, it's just the, you know, before the hip injury, he was regarded as like the best of the best, you know? Like, if he can recover from that, I know you're taking a risk on him, but I don't know how big of a deal that hip will be 2 years from now. You know, does that hobble his potential? If not, I think he could, like, I would take him over Justin Herbert all day, healthy. I guess it just depends on how much you're worried about the hip, but I like him a lot.
I do like whenever we're at the point of the NFL cycle where we start hearing all these reports about people moving teams and stuff. And even if you do draft Justin Herbert, I think the Dolphins would wait and try to go with a veteran quarterback again. They're in a weird position, though, because, like I said, they do feel like they're – even though they only won five games, it does feel like they were a little bit ahead of schedule. Because, like I said, they were supposed to be awful, abysmal, embarrassing. Yet there they were in New England at the end of the year, knocking off the Patriots in a game that the Patriots had to win to get a first-round bye. And they went in there, and they had enough to knock them out. Beat him. I'm surprised that Cam is a Justin Herbert fan. All those big games he won at Oregon just do it for you? Oh, wait. Never really did that.
Nope. I don't know. I think he'd be fine. But, yeah, I do think Burrow and Tua are ahead of him for sure. Like, I don't think that's really an argument. Just the Tua injury kind of worries me.
Yeah, so far of the updates that, you know, we've talked about with the NFL rumors, like it does seem like the Rivers to the Colts would be the biggest story. The Darius Slay being on the trade market would be the second biggest, and then this Justin Herbert stuff would be a distant third. We'll see. We're going to hear a lot about quarterbacks. All right, we're going to power rank the best leaders in honor of President's Day.
Yes.
All right, we'll see how this goes as we try to get our list ready for best leaders. Stick with us. We'll do some power ranking coming up next. Drink.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
I need more than power.
Rankings. All right, let's power rank the best leaders in honor of President's Day. Cody, what do you got?
Greatest leaders of all time, John. I feel comfortable with my five. I've narrowed it down. It's hard to narrow it down. You've got some great ones that just missed the cut. People like Constantinople, Julius Caesar, George Washington didn't make my cut. But here's my five. At number five, I go with Nelson Mandela as president of South Africa. Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in jail but was greeted as a hero on his release. He was a revolutionary. He dismantled the apartheid regime. How do you say apartheid? Apartheid? Apartheid. The regime.
You're asking the wrong people.
He attained his freedom, and Nelson Mandela led the ANC in its negotiations with the governing National Party and various South African political organizations for an end to apartheid and the establishment of a multiracial racial government. He was essential in the liberation of South Africa.
Okay.
Rest in peace forever, Nelson Mandela. And not only that, when he was released from jail, he became famous as well for promoting a message of forgiveness and equality, which I think was important. Number four on my list, I go with Jesus Christ. Christ was a first century Jewish preacher and religious leader, for those of you unfamiliar. He lived from 4 BC to AD 30-33. 4 BC, is that accurate? Jesus was born 4 BC?
Are you reading Wikipedia again?
Uh-huh. Christ is the central figure of Christianity. Most Christians believe he is the incarnation of God, the Son, and the awaited Messiah, prophesied in the Old Testament. And even those who disagree do recognize Jesus as a great leader. Virtually all modern scholars of antiquity agree that Jesus did exist historically, although the quest for the historical Jesus has produced little agreement on the historical reliability of the Gospels and how closely the Jesus portrayed in the Bible reflects historical Jesus.
And this is what number?
Number four on the list.
Number four.
Jesus Christ, number four on the list.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we've got Martin Luther King Jr., MLK. I think everybody's familiar with him, obviously. Huge for civil rights back in the 60s. MLK was an American Baptist minister and activist who became the most visible spokesperson and leader in the civil rights movement from 1955 until his assassination in 68, which unfortunately was on my birthday. I've always hated that MLK was assassinated on my birthday. Several years before I was born. Still yet, my birthday.
Biggie. Shot on mine.
Really?
Yep.
That's also bad.
Yep. Died on the 9th, but was shot on the 8th.
Huh.
My birthday is the 8th, so he got shot on mine, but didn't die on mine, but yeah.
Yeah.
I have to carry a similar burden that you do.
I do, too.
Although it is cool, like, every time on, like, my hip-hop channels on the 8th and 9th, they'll do a Biggie mix on, you know, for a couple hours a DJ will spin a bunch of Biggie songs, so that's always cool.
I feel like I was predisposed to be a racist. Thank God I'm not, but I feel like I was.
Being born?
Based on how I was born.
Being born in Arkansas? At least it wasn't Mississippi.
Born in Arkansas on the day MLK was shot?
And they would have called it Robert Lee. Was it Robert Earl King?
Robert
Day?
E. Lee, what?
I don't know.
Robert Earl King. Who's that? That's some Earl kind of Keen. Musician? Robert Earl Keane? Is that
yeah.
who you think?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Who
that's
is
what
that?
I was trying to say. Wasn't that the
I've
guy?
Heard that name. Who is that?
I thought that was a guy shot MLK.
Robert Earl Keane? I thought that was I thought that was like a musician.
Nah, I might have just completely. Let's just move on.
Well, we got to get the answer now.
Yeah, that's a singer.
So that is a singer.
Yeah. Okay. James Earl Ray. I don't know what the hell I was
you
thinking.
You were kind of close.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I knew it was James Earl Ray. It's just one of those things.
James Earl Ray.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what they.
Is there a called. More southern name than James Earl Ray?
Robert O'Keen. Pretty southern as well. Let's move on.
What are some popular Robert Earl King songs?
I don't know.
Anyway, MLK is my number three. MLK, very important. Number two.
I made it all throughout today without being a dumbass, and then boom, there you go.
It happens, bro. Number two, Abraham Lincoln, the one president that made my list. Abraham Lincoln was an American statesman and a lawyer who served as the 16th president of the U.S. from 1861 until his assassination in April 1865. All these important people get assassinated.
Seems like in April, too.
Abraham Lincoln.
April.
MLK.
April.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know the date on that one. Could be April.
Thought it was Easter.
Well, I mean, I know, but Easter's a different.
Easter has fallen on April before.
Easter's a different day.
And the calendar's just changed so much since Jesus was around.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
you know,
but Easter is a different day each year, so.
it could have been Valentine's Day for all we know with these calendars. People say December 25th is not actually when Jesus was born. Anyway.
Oh, many people say that. It was actually August is what most scientists have kind of circled around.
Yeah, but nobody wants to do a holiday in August.
We need the boost to the economy right before the end of the year.
Exactly.
So companies will get better Christmas specials. Yeah. And a lot of people are sad in December, so a little holiday cheer. Maybe it'll keep the seasonal depression away. Although some people get really depressed around Christmas time because their family is either not in a good place with them or they get sad they don't have enough money to buy people gifts. So probably it's honestly probably even worse to be in December for keeping it $100.
Right. So Lincoln's number two led the nation through one of its most perilous times.
Sure.
Obviously the American Civil War.
Killed a lot of vampires too.
The bloodiest war. That's right. He did do that.
Killed a lot of vampires.
The bloodiest war of all time. And you had a nation divided over whether or not we should end slavery or continue to have it. And he just, like a trooper. I mean, Abraham Lincoln got us through that, delivered the great Emancipation
Proclamation.
Yeah. You know, obviously, everybody knows about Lincoln. Also, he was 6'4". Could have been in the
tall
NBA.
Man.
Could have been in the NBA for his time.
Really surprising he isn't in the NBA or didn't hoop. I mean,
he kind of should be in the NBA Hall of Fame just based on his height. I mean, because if the basketball was around when he was president, I mean, he would have been a star.
I guess basketball wasn't around when he was a president, huh?
No.
Basketball,
but that's
like
part
in
of why
late
it was,
1800s.
Would we have ever had basketball if not for Abe Lincoln?
That's one way to look at it. But if he was born a little bit later, like, he was what, from Indiana/Kentucky? Those are two states that love their hoops. Who knows?
He was a Wichita State power forward before they ever existed.
He might have. He could have been a point guard, too, for Kentucky or Louisville.
I imagine he'd be a post player.
It's probably a good thing that he was. It was probably a good thing that he was born before basketball was a thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? He might not have cared about the whole politics thing. He might have just been a hooper. Imagine Abraham Lincoln running around this top hat just saying ball is life.
Could have been one of the great shot blockers of all time. Anyway,
he could have done a lot for racial injustice as a hooper if he could ball. Like, could have been, one of the great white hoopers of all time.
Sure.
You drop Abraham Lincoln in 1980. Who knows?
Sure.
Larry Bird,
Larry
who?
Bird, yeah, right.
More like Abe Lincoln. Lincoln going toe-to-toe with Magic Johnson.
Yeah, so he's number two. Number one, Winston Churchill. We got to speed it up here and get to yours. But Churchill, I do want to say one short thing about Churchill.
Yeah, speed it up as you talk about Winston Churchill.
One of my great, one of the great quotes.
I don't even have time for my list.
To lead Britain through what he did.
3 minutes to give you all
London,
five of my power
London literally being bombed every night by Adolf Hitler, and for him to lead him through. And he had a great quote. He once said, "I am fond of pigs. I view because pigs view us as their equals. Dogs look up to us. Cats look down on us."
You told us that story many times.
It's a great quote.
You're delaying my power rankings.
All right,
just
go
for
ahead.
That.
Go ahead.
I had to make a late addition to mine. Sorry to Adam Sandler. I do think he's a great leader. He takes care of his friends. You know, he puts them in his movies. He helps them make a lot of money, but you had to get knocked out. My number five, Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon saw the WWE, saw the WWF, took it from territorial wrestling all the way to a billion-dollar company. Now he's running the XFL, doing pretty good at that so far. Vince McMahon has shown that he can lead, right? He can lead. He turned wrestling into a global, global sensation. Big credit for him. Beat Ted Turner, put Ted Turner out of business. He won the Monday Night War. He is the face of professional wrestling. He's my number five for best leaders. Number four for me, I went with Jeff Probst. He is the host of the greatest reality TV show ever, Survivor. It's going strong in season 40. Jeff's been there all 40 seasons. Jeff holding it down. Jeff is a great host and a great leader. Season 39, he did a really good job of bringing in some social issues and helping us walk through that as we try to grow as a society, because that's what a leader does. Sometimes they have to lead socially. As well as just in their regular, they have to get outside of their regular job duties to bring the country together. That's what Jeff Probst did. Number three for me, I went with Tony Soprano. Obviously, he helped run that family, and sure, maybe Junior got the title of boss for most of the show, but we all knew who was really running the show there. It was Tony, and not only that, but Tony Soprano, one of the first tough guys to tell us, "Hey guys, taking care of your mental health, it's very important."
Yeah.
1999, Tony was talking to a psychiatrist, Cam. He was in there trying to get his mind right. He's a big advocate for mental health, and without that, who knows? Who knows how many people got into therapy because, like, you know what? If Tony Soprano can do it, so can I. And sure, he was a little embarrassed about it. He didn't want his crew knowing about it because it was a little embarrassing. But eventually, he's just like, yeah, I like to talk to somebody. I got to deal with some things inside my head. And who knows? Maybe he was trying to manipulate people into thinking he wasn't that bad of a guy. And maybe he was just had a facade going the whole time and was a sociopath. But either way, he put mental health on the mainstream. And that's important. That's what leaders do.
I feel like we took this assignment a little bit differently.
Number two for me, I went with Tom Brady. Credit where it's due, man. 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 rings. And he did what a leader has to do. And that's sacrifice sometimes. He gave up a lot of money to keep that team together and to keep them winning. I originally had Michael Jordan there, but I took off Michael Jordan and I went with Tom Brady because you know what Tom Brady never did? He never quit on his team twice. Walked away from the sport to go play baseball and to retire for a couple years before coming back to the Wizards. Brady never did that. You know why? Because Brady said, I ain't going anywhere. I'm going with my guys. And they'll eventually go back to the Patriots and they'll do a whole big pep rally thing. And Tom Brady says, I ain't leaving. Number one, though, the best leader of all time, I think I got to go with Dom Toretto. To watch how that crew has gone from just like street racing punks to like, you know, some of the best spies and some of the best, I mean, I don't even know what you would call them. When the government needs something done, like, hey, this whole thing in Russia is about to go down. We need you to go stop a submarine and this person who has a eagle eye that could see everybody and overtake technology and who knows the world's going to end. Like, to see his street racing crew go from that to saving the world, that's a pretty big transformation, and it doesn't happen without Dom Toretto. But no matter what, Cody, no matter what all they've had to do and how many obstacles they've had to tackle, no matter how many disagreements and fights they've gotten into, he's kept one thing in focus. And I think every great leader has to have a code and has to have something to live by and has to have their team follow those rules too. And Dom Toretto has that. It's all about family. Family over everything. You'd never lose sight of family.
Should have put an Italian mobster on there.
I did. Tony Soprano is number three.
Oh, well. Well, that's an interesting list. A little different than mine, but you know, good list.
I didn't have Jesus on number four on mine.
No, you didn't even mention him.
I was going with a different. I was going in a different direction.
Clearly,
the direction you went in had JC at number four, which
he's top five all time. Can we not agree on that? I mean,
yeah, we agree.
I feel like even Muslims and Jews would have him top five all time.
Hour two in the books. Hour three on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.